What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Manuel Fonts Show. I am Manuel Fonts. This is Thursday, and yes, I'm a little late on delivery. I know I said 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, but unfortunately, I was really tired, and sadly, I had to go to sleep. So I was unable to get it done in a timely manner, and I apologize for that. I'm sure I'll get right on the grueling schedule a lot quicker than I've been, I guess. Apologize for all of that. Let's do some housekeeping. Obviously, this show, as I've said before, has changed its name entirely from the Stretch Goose Podcast to the Manuel Fonts Show because, you know, like I said, I have to grow up. Can't keep running around with these childish schoolyard names and gamer tags. And so that's that. The second thing is the podcast, the lost tapes of the Stretch Goose Podcast is hundreds of episodes of my podcast journey. As I've said in the past, it's a place where you can go and listen to the growth, if you will, the shittiest of episodes to the decent episodes to, you know, sound good, don't sound good, muffled, not muffled, music or no music, just a host of things that I was able to save, whether it be on my own hard drives or off the internet. And there have been two podcasts that have been on this network that have now been shuttled and moved over to the Lost Tapes. The first one was Bleacher Banter, which was a sports podcast I did with my son that ended up being consolidated into this podcast. And then he obviously opted to go do his own thing. So those episodes got put into the Lost Tapes. And then there was another episode, another podcast that I was doing personally, which is The History Of. And The History Of was a project that I was working on where the most odd things were getting, that had history, were getting, you know, like paper clips, pull tabs on your soda cans, things like that. Well, that podcast has also been put into the Lost Tapes. And probably never going to bring that back. And a lot of it does have to do with time because I am a one person and I could only do so much. So, as I said, in terms of how this show is put together, I do use tools I do use technology to go about this because I am by myself. You know, I don't exactly have a gigantic crew that I pay, you know, a research team or whatever. I do this on my own. So I do use artificial intelligence to pull all the articles that I need to read on a specific subject. And I pick and choose what I want to include when I start to essentially write the bullet points to whatever it is. Now, as this progresses, obviously, I need to get better with one thing, and that is, where did I get this? Because it also puts down the website where I should probably be more in citing my sources as to where I'm getting it from. So that way, it can be a little more, you know, you guys can look at it yourselves and things if you don't like the way I presented it, so to speak. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. And I just completed a Random Thoughts episode with the other member of this team, company, if you will. And we were talking about the possibility of using Stretch Goose as a company name as opposed to a show. Now, that we'll see how that goes. I mean, I don't... We'll see, you know. It was a idea that was floated. So let me know what you guys think, if that should be the actual name of the network? Should it be the Stretch Goose Network? Should we call this the Stretch Goose Media Company? I mean, let me know in the comments below or email me at stretchgoose@fontsmedia.com. And of course, that email is still going to be the email for this show. So Stretch Goose isn't totally dying, but it's something you guys can, you know, let me know. Just let me know. You know, do you like it? Do you not like it? What are your thoughts? Let's get a swig of this disgusting Coca-Cola because I ran out of Dr. Pepper. And then we'll dive into the show today. Because I got 10 pages of notes here, so let's see how quick I can swing this one. But also, before I do, something did happen overnight, and it's widely reported by now. It's on, you know, the Hollywood Reporter did it, Fox did it, you know, CNN, all the guys. Gene Hackman and his wife and dog were found dead in their home on a welfare check. He was 94, she was 63, and I don't know how old the dog was. They say that there's no foul play. It's just, I don't know exactly what happened. Obviously, more information needs to come out. I'm just simply putting it out there that one of the greats has passed away. And his whole, again, apparently his wife did, is also passed on with him. So condolences, thoughts, and prayers to the Hackman family. And hopefully we get an update and some kind of resolution, if you will, to this whole thing and find out what actually went down. It's a sad day for Hollywood. I mean, my generation is slowly disappearing. And it's just, it really is striking you as how much time you got left on this planet. I mean, Gene Hackman is gone. There was an actress that I didn't even know she had an organ transplant, but she was 39 and she also passed away within the last couple of days. There's been quite a few that have left this earth, if you will. And it's, I don't know. It just really lets you know. It really does hit you. You know, the time is short and you should probably enjoy as much of it as you can. So on with some more bad news. There is something that has been going on in Africa. The Democratic Republic of Congo's North Kivu province, and it's I hope I'm saying these all disclosure. I'm probably not going to say all these names correctly, but I'm going to do my best. Feel free to correct me in the comments below if I mispronounce something. Yeah, I'm going to do what I can here. But something has been going on in that province and in Africa in general. There's always an incident. There's always some kind of deal that doesn't get widely reported in the West. Europe doesn't really cover it. I didn't get it from any outlet in America. I actually got it from a Twitter post, and the article I forgot, citing my sources. I'll get better on the next show, believe me. This will really start to flesh out as soon as I make it a habit. But I got this off of a Twitter post, and I looked up the actual incident itself, and there was video footage on X of this stuff happening, and I ended up getting it from a news source in South Africa that was reporting on this. And basically 70 Christians were discovered beheaded in a church, in a Protestant church in the Republic of Congo's North Kivu province. The victims were believed to have been taken hostage a few days before and were killed. The Allied Democratic Forces, an Islamic group linked to the Islamic State, are suspected to be responsible for the massacre. The victims were tied up and decapitated with knives and other sharp objects. The incident, of course, has drawn international condemnation, but it hasn't really shown up on the TVs. That's what happened. So a bunch of Muslims tied up some Christians and chopped all their heads off, basically. And there's no, I guess outside of religious hatred, I don't know exactly why that even happened. And not only did they do it, they took them to their own church, and it looked like they took them to a Christian church and went ahead with it. The Orthodox Public Affairs Committee called the act egregious, violation of human rights, etc. Tristan Asbish, a Hungarian state secretary for the aid of persecuted Christians, also expressed his outrage. John Samuel, Open Doors legal expert of the Sub-Saharan Africa, condemned the violence and called for protection of civilians in the targeted area. The Allied Democratic Forces, the ADF, has been responsible for numerous attacks on Christian communities in the region. ADF has been active in the Democratic Republic of Congo for over a decade at this point. Violent campaigns have intensified over the years. The Christians do face severe persecution and violence frequently from these groups. The militants enforce extreme interpretations of Islam, targeting Christians and spreading terror across the country's northeast. The violence takes place in a context of impunity. I'm just taken back by it, to be honest, because it's like something you don't normally see at that kind of a scale. No one has obviously held accountable so far. This has led to widespread human rights violations against civilians in vulnerable communities. It's weird, but why is it not, as weird as this story is and as crazy as this story is, why is it really not getting the attention? And there's a few things with it. Obviously, verifying the story has been a challenge. Unverified by independent sources, the United Nations peacekeeping mission in the Congo has acknowledged the serious allegations, but stated these reports remain unverified. So they're having trouble verifying this odd story. The international media often prioritizes stories based on their perceived relevance to their audience, which is another issue. Unfortunately, events in regions like the Congo may not always receive the same level of attention as events in more globally connected areas. So this is basically an incident that, a deadly crazy incident that occurred in a place that no one gives a shit about. That's what that means. And it is not a priority for the world. And I think that's where a lot of these groups live, in these areas, because they know they could basically get away with a lot of this stuff. Of course, there's complexity, there's context, things like that. But there's some things where you're just kind of like, wow, you know, I don't know. I just find it crazy that this shit is happening. And I did, that's where I found it from. That's where I got this from. It just came to me. It's called cruxnow.com. That's where I found the article talking about this stuff. And this is some of the notes I took off of it. I wasn't able to find a secondary news source per se. And again, it's very hard to get a hold of a lot of these types of stories online. But, I mean, it's a tragic story. It's a terrible story. And it just shows how much we really care about certain things, I guess. Listen, guys. I'm going to shift gears to something that that is kind of exciting if you're a Star Wars fan. Kathleen Kennedy is finally retiring. Now, if you don't know who Kathleen Kennedy is, she is the president of Lucasfilms. And she's retiring at the end of 2025. She's been a part of movies like Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, E.T. and whatnot. But she is the main person since 2012 overseeing Star Wars. And, of course, everybody's been pissed about her inability to make Star Wars relevant to the new audience. To the new audience as in the younger audience. Of course, she's gotten good with like Mandalorian, Rogue One. Some things have hit, but there's a lot of shit that has not hit. And as she goes to step down, who's gonna replace her? You got Dave Filoni floating around. Jon Favreau has been floated. But I personally would go with Dave Filoni because he's lived, breathed Star Wars since he was a kid. He's been all about a lot of the animated stuff. And he's had a lot of success with it. I think he knows this universe a lot better than Jon Favreau, who just wrote and was a part of The Mandalorian. And I just would go with Dave. Of course, some of the criticism that I think Kathleen Kennedy has received, I don't know if it's fair criticism, but, you know, stuff like creative differences, I mean, you're going to get that. You're going to get the fan backlash has been the most things that she has gotten. Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker. Nobody really liked that. Some of them felt that they deviated too much from the original tone and theme of Star Wars. She's also promised a bunch of shit that has not happened. But isn't that what the movie industry is all about, though? I mean, let me know what you guys think about this. You know, a lot of shit has happened. Like, Blade is still not been made. That's an unfulfilled promise. I don't know if you can make that a criticism of Kathleen Kennedy. It's just as much as you can make it a criticism of Steven Spielberg, whatever. Sometimes movies just don't get made. It is what it is. The other issues, like inconsistent output, has been, you know, I would prefer inconsistency in releasing a Star Wars film. I don't mind that the last film was 2019 and the next one is 2026. I don't mind that the films were 3 or 4 years apart. I mean, honestly, this is a criticism that she's been getting that I think would just, you just got to set that aside. I mean, I would love things to breathe a little bit. You know, there's no reason to just go bam, bam, bam. Because look what happened to Marvel. The Marvel studios have been putting out 3 or 4 films a year and saturated the market to the point where the fans didn't show up. They were just like, yeah, it's the same movie. And that's what's happened with Star Wars, with TV shows and all the stuff showed up on Disney Plus, saturate the market, get some poor writing in there over time. Then you got some political agendas going on in like Acolyte and such, and it just sort of tone and it just disintegrated the franchise. So I don't mind the inconsistency. I don't think it's something that you can level that as a criticism. You know, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. Of course, Andor's coming back. It is what it is, guys. I don't know. I don't have an issue with any of that. Some of the names I've said before, Filoni, Favreau. There's also Carrie Beck. She's the vice president of animation and live action development at Lucasfilm. Pippa Anderson is the senior vice president of post production at Lucasfilm. It's possible that these guys are in the mix. I still think it's Filoni, and it should be Filoni. And if Disney had a couple of brain cells to rub together, they would pick Filoni and nobody else. Nobody else. Here's another hard pivot. The Middle East. I've been hearing this shit for years. Two-state solution, right? I've been hearing it for years. I've been hearing how the Palestinians and the Israeli and the Jews, all they just never get along. You hear about all the stuff from 1948, from the World War II, 47, 48, all this stuff, the partition plan. You hear about all this shit, right? And then there's always these politicians that go, adjust, you know, a two-state solution. Haven't we already, don't we already have one? I mean, you have the Gaza Strip, which is borders from Egypt, Jerusalem. I think Jordan is on the other side of that. I could be off on that a little bit. But isn't Gaza a state? I mean, it technically is. I mean, it's got its own governing body in Hamas. Isn't that technically a state? And then in Israel is technically a state as well, right? So you have a two-state solution already since the Gaza Strip was abandoned in 2005, right? Okay. So how has the experiment gone so far? You know what I'm saying? Like, how has it gone so far? That's kind of what it is, right? I mean, I've got a bunch of notes here about this type of stuff, but what I want to do is look at, of course, they've already done this. What has happened in Gaza since 2005? Gaza, when the Jewish population left and Gaza was handed over to the Palestinians, they said they destroyed everything. They did. And they elected Hamas to be the governing body. And what has Hamas done? They've stolen the aid. They've made weapons out of it. They've basically attacked the Israel whenever they whenever, you know, they can. They've gone out of their way to make life a living hell on the borders between Israel and Gaza. And so what would a two-state solution actually do? They're already doing it now, and all they're doing is fighting. I don't think it would ever, you know, mean anything at the end of the day. I just don't. So it's like Gaza has been controlled by Hamas since, in, you know, 100% 2007. After beating up the Fatah faction. So there you go. I mean, they've had a war in 2008, 2014, and then of course October 7th. They've been doing this ad nauseum. So why would we still want to do this two states solution thing? Anybody get what I'm trying to say here? We already have a two-state solution. It's already there. And look how it has turned out. Look what they are doing. They've been fighting the whole fucking time. So what does it matter how they draw this map up? Either way, there's going to be fights. And why are they going to be fighting? They're going to be fighting over that piece of dirt called Jerusalem. Because that is the holy city of everybody's fucking religion. It is. It just is. It's the spot that they all picked. And they all lay claim to. And they all want. So it doesn't matter how you draw this up. But since we already have borders somewhat in place, we already have an example of a two-state solution that has not, and it's not working. So why are the politicians still doing this? What is the actual benefit? I don't see any for anybody outside of politicians getting a couple of kickback dollars. I mean, they've had the war from 2008 to 2009. It began in December when Israel launched a military operation in response to rocket fire coming from Hamas. In 2012, In November, Israel launched an 8-day military operation in response to a more rocket fire from Hamas. In 2014, this was one of the most intense conflicts. It was 50 days in the summer of 2014. It resulted in a high number of casualties and extensive damage to the infrastructure of Gaza. 2021 was the Gaza conflict. In May, tensions escalated into an 11-day conflict. The fighting resulted in significant casualties and infrastructure destruction in Gaza. 2023, October 7th, we know how that went. And according to Numbeo, Gaza has a crime index of 46.5, which is moderate, right? Considering we have to trust the statistics from Gaza, if it's accurate, right? Theft, drug trafficking, arms trafficking, burglary, human trafficking, and terrorism, and property crime, vandalism, theft. It's all, those are all the stuff that gets reported. It's not safe in Gaza. The safety index is at 53.4. It says it indicates a moderate level of safety, but it is not a safe place. If you think about this, the homicide rate is 0.88 per 100,000, which is, again, it fluctuates, but it's kind of like middle of the road, I guess. But it is what it is. Like, I don't know what else to say to this. It's not a workable solution. They also have the highest unemployment in the world. They steal humanitarian aid. I'm kind of tripping over myself because it's a situation that is already has an example. And that example is not working. So to sit there and say to have a true two-state solution, you already have it, and it's not working. So the best thing I think everybody should do, it's my opinion. If you don't like it, please let me know. But I honestly think that as much as Israel doesn't want to do it, I personally think that they should leave 100% leave. And I'm talking no humanitarian aid, turn off the water, completely force the Palestinians to become civilized, force the Palestinians to do things the right way. And obviously, secure your border, police it the way you should, but I don't think they should be helping them anymore because the thanks that they get is blockades, rocket fire, kidnappings, beheadings. I mean, there's no reason. There's just no reason to do this. And I think they should just let Gaza sink and leave it at that. And I think countries, all, you know, NATO and whatever, just let it go, man. Just let that shit fall into the ocean, if you will. That's my thought. I don't know what you guys probably have a completely different opinion. Let me know in the comments down below. I appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you guys on that. I was a little off my game today, as it were. You can kind of tell the way I'm presenting a lot of this. It's just kind of fumbling through it, but that is what life is like, man. You had a hard day, but you got to keep your content going. So and not every day can you fake it till you make it, as people keep saying. Sometimes it's going to be bad. Sometimes it's not going to work out, but it's how you handle it and how you struggle through it that really tells you about yourself and about who you are as a person. And that, kids, is the end of it. Let me know what you think down in the comments below, or email me at stretchgoose@fontsmedia.com. See you tomorrow. I want to break your soul.